Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Thanks so much for being with us. This week, Frankfort Mayor Judy Sheets is our guest. If you have questions for the mayor, you can still email those in to ask@wbaa.org. And we've got the mayor on the line right now. Good afternoon, Mayor Sheets.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Is it still is it raining in Frankfort right now?
Well, kind of, but not like a heavy rain. It's just kind of this little sprinkle, drizzle. We kind of go back and forth, but we haven't had any heavy rain yet.
So. We're kind of heading into that fall weather right now, I feel. We had a little break for a little while, but I think it's starting to hit us.
I do, too. I think it's back. I don't know that I'm ready for it, but it's back.
We got to get ready, Mayor. We got to get ready. All right.
That's right.
So since the last time we spoke, and we speak once a month, so the governor put Indiana into the final stage of the state's reopening plan. That's stage five. And then yesterday we were all waiting to hear if that was still going to be the case. And yesterday the governor did keep the state in stage five, also re-extended the mask mandate. I know you've seen cases go up in Clinton County also since we talked last month. I believe you had your highest, you know, one-day case total. I was just looking at your numbers for today, and there were 12 new positive cases. It looks like you had another death in the county, unfortunately. So first of all, we're in stage five. We're staying in stage five for now. How has being in stage five over this past month changed some things in Frankfort, or has it, you know, or in how the city is conducting its business since things are, you know, technically a little more opened up now?
As far as the city and our employees, there has not been a change. We've just kept everything pretty much the same. You know, so with the mask mandate, the sanitizing, the social distancing. So we really haven't changed anything. And also citywide, you know, I've been to restaurants, I've been to different places, and they're still, I think, adhering to those guidelines, you know, the social distancing, wearing masks, and taking precautions. So I haven't noticed a lot of difference as far as in Frankfort, but I was not surprised when he kept the mask mandate in place.
You mentioned restaurants, and they kind of fall into a little bit of a different category under the current plan, which is that they can't, you know, in many parts of the state, open at a fuller capacity, but they still need to operate with that social distancing in place, which can get tricky.
Yes.
You know, do you know anything about how those Frankfort restaurants are handling that kind of very specific restriction, I guess?
The ones that I've been in, they're still doing the social distancing, you know, still have the tables marked where you can, it's about like every other table, you know, just doing things like that, hand sanitation as you go in, they ask you to wear a mask. Those type things are still ongoing, and I haven't really noticed any big difference.
Okay. I know yesterday the governor talked about, you know, where a lot of the case spikes are coming from. You know, cases are kind of getting traced back to, you know, someone not being careful at a gathering. People are fatigued. They're tired. You talked about how taking personal responsibility is important. How are you continuing or trying to get that message out to people in Frankfort, especially as the holidays are coming up?
Absolutely. And it is one thing that we are still encouraging people. You know, of course, the sanitizing is very important to me. And at Old Stoney, up here at the city building, we have a sanitation station still set up. We have masks available for anybody that comes in. And we still have, like, our plexiglass guards in front of each office. So we're still taking those precautions. We have not let down on that at all. And I look for that to continue for a while.
So the kind of annual Christmas parade got called off here in Lafayette. Now, Frankfort kind of has its own Christmas parade. Am I right? There's an event like that you guys do. So who runs that particular parade? Is that a city event? Is that a different group that runs the Frankfort
parade? It's not city. It's Main Street. Mm-hmm. And I look for them to make a decision here shortly on which way they're going to go on that. I have not heard anything yet. At least they haven't notified me. But I'm going to be surprised if we still go forward with it, particularly with the cases going up.
So, and what time of year does the Christmas parade typically happen?
It usually happens like that first part of December.
Okay.
So So we're really not that far away. What, 6 weeks, maybe 6-7 weeks away from when we might have it. So.
And when we're talking about a parade, if it's kind of under consideration, I'm assuming you've gone to your fair share of the Christmas parades over the years.
Yes.
So I guess describe it to me. You know, what are we talking about here when we're thinking about whether or not to still have this event? What happens at the parade?
Okay, we do have a lot of candidates, you know, that are running for office. That's in there. Of course, we always have Santa Claus. We have our high school bands and different organizations within the city do floats as well.
Okay. How many people would you say attend the parade?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I mean, we have the downtown square and all the way out, you know, along the parade route full of people. I don't know how many attend, but it's a very popular event for Frankfort.
So another popular event for Frankfort is the kind of the annual lights display in TPEA Park. I know you and I talked about that. I don't know if we talked about it during the show last month, but it sounded like then that was still something that you thought could go forward because it would be easier to do something like that in a socially distanced way.
Yes. Yes, we're still planning to have the Festival of Lights. Actually, they're working on it right now at the parks.
Okay.
Putting up the displays right now. Of course, that's a big job, so it takes some time to get that done. And we're trying to think of ways that we can still be able to pass out the candy canes. You know, of course, we have, like, the donations box. We have Santa and Mrs. Claus there. So we're still working on a plan to make sure that we can do those things and be safe as we do that.
So
I think everybody looks forward to it. So.
Well, and I have to confess, I have not ever gone, I've never driven through and taken a look at the lights. So just talk me through it. I'm sitting in my car. I'm about to drive through, look at the lights. You know, you're talking about Mrs. Claus and candy canes. What do people experience and when do they experience it as they're going along this route? You know, how are they interacting with all of that?
Now, I don't know how they're going to set it up this year, but in the past, they've had almost like an archway of lights when you enter into there. And then there are so many displays throughout the park. I mean, I don't even know how many they put out, but it is amazing. It is amazing. They have so many displays. Also, then we have the area where they can go up. There's a donations box. We have Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus that pass out candy canes to all the cars. Also, we have like a soup kitchen. And an area that is open, I think it's like 4 hours in the evening. I don't know. I'm hoping that they're able to open this year and have some food available. You know, have soups, hot dogs, that type thing. And last year they had also a kettle corn vendor that was there. So you could stop and get kettle corn, which was delicious.
I do enjoy kettle corn. It's
me
a treat.
Me too. Me too.
So you're describing something. And how long has this festival of, you know, with all of the light displays, how long has this been going on? I know you're a lifelong Frankfort resident, so.
Yes, I cannot remember. It seems like it's been forever, but I cannot remember the first year that we did this.
So this
but
is something
that has grown tremendously, you know, from the displays where we first started out to where we are now.
So.
Really nice.
You know, again, this would be something as opposed to a parade where there are more people out in the street, maybe harder to keep people away from each other. Do you think people will be disappointed, though, frustrated? You know, I think there is some frustration from people about things being called off in general. How do you let people know that it's kind of for, you know, a safety first kind of reason?
Yes, I mean, you know, I just feel like for, you know, health and safety of our citizens is something that we have to consider. And like I said, the parade, and like you mentioned also, you have people, you know, in close proximity. They're right there with each other. Where the Festival of Lights, everybody stays in their cars unless, of course, they're going to go to the soup kitchen or if we have the kettle corn vendor again. But otherwise, everything can be done within the car. You don't get out of the car. Matter of fact, it wouldn't probably be a good idea to do that. There's so many wires and lights and that type thing.
Okay. So I just wanted to ask about this because we're talking about events, and this, I guess you could call it kind of a seasonal event. It looks like the Clinton County Fair Council is holding a fall festival this weekend. And it looks like a pretty big deal. They've got musical acts. They've got food vendors. It looks like they have a rodeo. Just a lot happening at this event over the course of the weekend. It looks like at various locations. I was looking kind of at the Facebook landing page for that, and thousands of people had responded to it. You know, whoever is running an event like this, whether it's an outside group, it's the county, it's the city, you know, it still impacts everybody. So I guess, how do you, on behalf of the city, take part in some of these conversations about what's happening with an event like that and how it might affect residents in Frankfort?
The city really doesn't participate in that at all. We have our Clinton County Fair Board. They do that. They probably have talked to county officials and health department officials, but the city really does not get involved in that at all as part of the planning. And I just hope, and I'm sure that they will, you know, follow regulations, make sure there's sanitation, that people are allowed to do social distancing. I don't know what the requirements are going to be. I haven't seen that there's any, but I would think that they would have already have followed those and gotten with our Department of Health to make sure that everything is going as it should.
Do you feel any, not anxiety, but, you know, any concern, any, I guess, about potentially a lot of people coming together, you know, as the mayor of Frankfort? I guess, how do you, even if you're not directly involved in the planning of it, I mean, is it still something that you think about?
Oh, I absolutely do. You know, and like I said, I just hope that everyone follows the guidelines that they are supposed to be doing right now. It is a concern of mine because I'm concerned about the health and safety of our citizens. And I just want to make sure that we all stay safe and that we're doing what we can do, you know, on our part. So, yeah, I would say it's a concern. And, of course, our cases have picked up in these probably the last week.
Yeah.
We've had more cases overall. So, there again, that makes it a bigger concern. But I'm hoping, and I think they will, make sure that the guidelines are followed and that everyone is safe.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Thanks for being with us. Right now we're talking with Frankfort Mayor Judy Sheets. Mayor, it looks like the city has settled on a location for the new police department building. How long has that process lasted? How long have you guys been figuring that out, where that's going to be? It seems like it's been a couple of years now.
I think that we were talking the other day, the current police chief and myself, and I think this has probably been somewhere between 3 and 4 years mm-hmm. that they've been looking at different locations, trying to decide where we would have a, you know, types of facilities. So I'm really excited about this because we're able to get this done pretty quickly.
How quickly?
Let's see. We probably started 3 to 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Once we found out about the property and then just trying to get in contact with the right people, getting an agreement set up. And so we're excited. And so now we get to build a police station from the ground up. You know, it's not a building that we have to remodel, redo. We're going to start from the ground up. And I'm really excited about it, looking forward to it. I think it's that something that the police department's wanted for quite some time. And it's just going to right now be a police department. You know, at one point they talked about a fire department as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're looking at right now. We're looking at just a police department. And whether we want to go with a one-story building or a two-story building and exactly how we want that all to look. So I think everyone's excited about it.
Can you tell us how you landed on this final specific location? How did all of that come together?
Well, the current police chief and myself had been just always wondering where could we put this. So we had thought maybe CVS. You know, we went back to CVS, mm-hmm. talked to them. Just couldn't really get anything negotiated at that time. So we just kind of were looking out for land and see what we could come up with. And I don't even know how he found out about it, to be truthful with you, but somebody mentioned to him about that land, and then come to find out it was the Community Foundation, and they're always doing things for the city of Frankfort and this community. And so we thought, oh, this could be, you know, our opportunity to maybe get a hold of the land. So they were good with what we offered them and the type of agreement. Of course, part of it comes out of this year's budget, and part of the purchase price will come out of next year's budget. So everything has just worked out really well for us, and they've been very good to work with.
When do you, I guess, expect construction to start?
Well, I'm not sure when it will. I can tell you when the police chief wants it to.
Okay.
He's, he's excited. He wants to, after just right after the first of the year, you know, to go ahead and get started on making sure that we have the plans in place and that we can get forward. If he had his way, we'd probably be doing it in the spring next year.
Okay.
So as everything goes as planned, let's hope we can do that.
So you worked for the police department for a long time in Frankfort. So I'm
yes.
curious, do you think that helps give you a different or a better understanding of what the police department might need to have to function well in the new space?
I do. I think that does give me a better understanding and to realize that they do have needs that maybe another citizen might not understand. You know, they might think that's not something that's really necessary or whatever, but having worked there and know the importance of different types of equipment, you know, radios, what they need for their offices, that type thing, I think I probably do have a better understanding from working there.
Okay. So early voting has started in Indiana, and there's been a big early voting turnout across the country. It looks like there are, I believe, 8 early voting locations in Clinton County, and the main site is at the courthouse in downtown Frankfort, and the other 7 sites are open on the weekends. I know this isn't necessarily your wheelhouse, but, I mean, how is it going so far? Have you seen some big lines? What have you heard about turnout?
I have not heard that there's any big lines. I've heard several people mention that they have gone ahead and voted.
Mm-hmm.
I also talked to someone the other day, and of course they're going to do the mail-in voting. So I think that's going to be, you know, a popular way this year to vote as well. But I have not heard, you know, what the turnout is from the county side. But I know, like myself, I'll wait until probably closer to time and do it at one of the other places that is on the weekend, like on a Saturday. So. And I'm sure they'll get a lot of people then as well.
Okay.
It's so much different, though, than what we did before. I'm just one day voting.
So talk about, I mean, we, you know, just in general, I think, you know, there's lots of discussion around this election. There's always discussion around the election. But does this feel any different from the last presidential election back in 2016? Do people, you know, are people eager to vote? Are they getting out there? What's the mood in Frankfort right now?
I think everybody's anxious to get out and vote and to have a say. You know, no matter who wins or loses, at least you have that opportunity to get out and vote for the candidate that you think is going to do the best job. And I think that is important to people. And I think that this election, it has been very important. There's been so much going on mm-hmm. during all this campaign. And I think, here again we go, the COVID, you know, I think that's made people more aware, you know, of how things are going to be handled or how somebody's going to do this if they get in this position. So I think it's really important this year that they get out.
So I was looking at some pictures of Prairie Creek Park that were posted, and it's looking fairly pulled together. I know the completion of this project, again, that, you know, something else that's kind of been stretched out over some years now. What still needs to be completed? What is the city still working on to bring all that together and finalize it?
Okay, right now we have some more painting that we need to do. Also, one of the stages still needs some work. We have some planters and benches and that type of things that we have to place. And there's just some other things that we've seen along the way that maybe we just need to go back and look at or see if we can redo it. Actually, we have a meeting tomorrow on all of this, so I'm hoping, fingers crossed, in the next week or two, we'll be ready to go on our list and see that we can go ahead and get it open. But we're not going to have any events, but at least we could have the park open.
Mm-hmm. Well, so when you're saying, I'm interested in what you just said about kind of looking back at what's been done before and saying maybe we need to redo that, you know, what are some examples of that?
Well, the other day I was talking to someone, and I think there was like a problem with a drain, you know, just something
okay.
they had not realized, or an area that they had forgotten maybe to do something that should have been done that was supposed to be part of the project, and it was brought to somebody's attention, oh, that, you know, did not get accomplished, so we have that to look at. And we just have some other things that we've looked at over the time, and they're waiting for the ceiling and the event center, and there's just different, it's not anything big, it's just small things that we've noticed along the way that we just need to get taken care of.
And you said, and again, you know, we're just kind of assuming right now, we just might not be sure at this point under the circumstances, you know, exactly what events might start happening within the park space once it's done. But it will be a place people can go. They can go take a walk through and spend some time there.
Yes. And that's what I'm hoping, that people use the green space. Like I said, we're going to have some planters. We're going to have benches. There's a couple swings. And there's going to be areas where people can just go there and just enjoy the park. And I think that's what's important. It's for all ages. We have the playgrounds. We have the splash pad for the, you know, the young children. And then you have the event center. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot that different people can do of different ages. And I think it's going to be a really good place for the citizens to enjoy.
So I saw at the end of September, the city started soliciting resumes to fill a spot on the Frankfurt Utilities Service Board. And I was kind of recalling over the summer, and we talked about this, there was a little bit of a dispute over the utility board because of some of the decisions that were made about closing the Frankfurt Lagoons, but you had kept the board in place then that served under Mayor McBarnes.
Right.
So do you have a candidate in mind? Are you still looking for people?
Actually, that person is appointed by the council, so it's a council appointment.
Okay.
They actually advertised for it. They only got one application. So that person was named on the board Monday night at our meeting, and that was Joe Root. I can't tell you exactly how long he's been on the Utility Service Board, but he's been on for quite some time. He brings a lot of good experience and knowledge to the Utility Service Board.
What does someone have to think about and handle when they're on that board? What are the things they're going to need to do?
I think the big things that they have to look after is to make sure how the utilities are being ran, you know, who's in charge of those things, your superintendents, those type things, how each department is working. They also look at the revenues. They look at the budgeting side. There's a lot of different things that they have to look at as a member of that utility service board. They have to have some knowledge. They have to have an understanding of how utilities work.
Okay. So I'm going to ask about this. You issued a proclamation for Fire Prevention Week a few weeks ago. And it looks like this was the first time that the mayor had issued a proclamation for that. So why did you want to do that? Why was that important to you?
I just felt that it's something that we should do, that we should make people aware of the Fire Prevention Week and to recognize our fire department. And like I said, to let people know about safety. You know, and it was going to be different this year. We couldn't go in the schools. In the past, we've had programs that we could go to each one of the schools, and it just wasn't going to happen this year with COVID. So we got together, I got together with the fire chief and talked to him about it, and we came up with some ways that we could participate in the school without having to be in the schools. And I thought, you know, this is important. This is something that people need to know. We need to reach not only our children in school, but the citizens as well. And I thought a proclamation would be very good for that.
And then what are they focusing on this year? Can you tell us about that?
Actually, it's the kitchen or cooking or that type thing, mm-hmm. what happens in the home. But, yeah, they had a coloring contest for the younger kids. And then also we passed out the silicone bracelets for the older kids. I think it was like 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. And then also they worked with the schools to have a video so that it could be shown in all the classrooms. So I was excited about that. We did put some special effort into it just to make sure that this wasn't something that just got, you know, pushed to the wayside and we didn't think about it. Fire prevention is very important.
I saw that the fire department had to respond with some other fire units to a field fire last night. So they were on the job yesterday.
Yes, they were, with other townships as well.
Mm-hmm.
They had, you know, quite a bit of help from other agencies. And then, of course, the Frankfurt Fire Department, they were very busy on those,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately.
Right. And it was, I was seeing too, I think it was, they said it was 50 acres of farmland that was burned last night.
I believe that's right. That's what I had heard. Yes.
I saw that you were invited to speak at a graduation ceremony for the Clinton County Adult Education Program for people who are receiving their high school equivalency programs. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, that is a great program. And I was so happy that they asked me to be a part of that. These people have put a lot into this to get this diploma. And I'm so proud of them, and I want to make sure that I was a part of that. I'm so glad they asked me to speak. This isn't something that everybody, you know, decides to do. So I think, I'm trying to think how many students, they said, I believe there were only 6 or 7 that showed up for the actual graduation, but I'm thinking there were probably around 30 overall that received their diploma. And I think it's a very important thing. It's a program that is great. Somebody has spent a lot of time making this happen. And I know some of them through the education at the jail, and then there are other ways that they're able to work on this program and to receive their diploma.
So I was thinking about this, you know, as a mayor, you know, mayors generally have a lot of places to be. You speak at events like the ones you just described. And, you know, you and I talked way many months ago, pre-COVID, about some of the stuff that you wanted to do to get to know people in Frankfort better and to have them get to know you. How have you been navigating all of that? Not just those one-on-one get to know the mayor kind of events that you really wanted to have, but events like this where you have to stay safe, but you still want to get out there, go to events, go to ceremonies. You know, how does that work?
Exactly. I've tried to stay engaged with the community, but still keep myself healthy and safe because I don't want COVID. You know, I don't want to be in the quarantine. I want to be able to be here to do my job. But I've tried to go to activities and to be a part of the community. And if I'm asked to be there to speak or if there's organizations that are having meetings, I've been trying my best to go, but still be cautious about what I do while I'm there. You know, I wear my mask. I always have hand sanitizer with me. But it's a concern to be out in the public, but it's something I want to do. It's something that I love. I love to be around the people.
So is it important, you know, maybe even particularly for the mayor to model that kind of best practices that you just talked about, wearing a mask and carrying around hand sanitizer so that people can, you know, kind of look to you as the leader?
Absolutely. I think it's very important. I want them to know the importance to me and hope that they follow along with that. You know, you always have some people that don't believe in that, and, you know, that's up to them. But I, myself, I'm a big believer in the mask, and I want to be that person that they look at to see that that's what I do to protect myself and the community.
So as we're kind of heading into the kind of the last minute of the show here, how do you feel like the community is getting to know you better, Mayor? As you're kind of coming, sort of starting to get closer to the end of your first year in office, which started again kind of back at the beginning of March.
Right. I think so. You know, at first, I'm not sure everybody knew. A lot of people knew me. But now I notice even more when I'm out in public, people recognize me. They know that I'm the mayor or, you know, they ask me a question or that type thing. I think at first it took a little while, but I think also there I go back to this. The COVID didn't help any because it kept everybody so much within their own homes.
And Mayor, that's our time for today. Thanks so much for being
okay.
with us.
Thank you.
You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, and Crawfordsville. Send us your questions to ask@WBAA.org. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of the day.